Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to this program and to AFR throughout the day. I'm Tim Wildman. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing today?
Doing well. What do we got on tap today?
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to have Jan Markell on, who's founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She's host of the radio program Understanding the Times. Our listeners are very familiar with Jan. We're going to talk politics and whatever else she wants to talk about.
She keeps up with what's happening with respect to Israel, too.
Yes, that's, very smart lady.
As Christians, we want to pay attention to that.
So amen.
We'll talk to her.
And then at the bottom of the hour, Ann and Ilhami Kanur of Windswept Academy in Eagle Butte, South Dakota.
Right.
Where it's always a bit chilly, yeah. I imagine. We're going to find out. We'll find out, but we're going to talk about the ministry there. And then next hour,
but their
Ryan
story
Dobson.
Their story will warm your heart.
Oh, it's a great story,
chilly,
a great ministry.
Chilly warm your heart.
See what you did there. That
all
was
right.
good.
That was good. I thought it was good.
Then next hour, Ryan
you
Dobson,
didn't even get it,
founder. I did. I you had to explain it to
yeah,
me, but
yeah, but you got to explain your jokes. It's kind of lame.
Yeah, well, either that or I just I'm a little dull-witted. It's Monday morning.
Well, I understand.
You know.
Yeah.
Then next hour, Ryan Dobson, founder of Core Ministries, is going to be talking to him about the celebration of adoption in 2016.
Lots to talk about today on this program. What do you think about it? Did you watch the debate last night?
Man, I watched it. I sure did.
The whole thing?
The whole thing and watched some of the discussion
afterwards. I did too. An hour and a half. We had a debate, as we did in the first thing. We had a debate sort of. I had some of the family over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got a TV on my patio now, so we watched it outside last night so everybody could yell. And
So now do you have neighbors close by? So if you yell at the TV?
Yeah, about 100 feet or so away. But
so can
it's my yard. It's my house. I yell if I want to.
I know, but do they think you and Allison are
getting
in a
shouting, the sheriff.
Shouting match?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
We did have some voice-raising moments at the debate, because it was kind of like a prize fight, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Huh?
It was, and
this is what our country's come to, gladiator politics, huh?
The decorum
is
sport.
Off.
Oh, it was off last night. I mean, because, you know, it was interesting. Hillary Clinton started off right out of the chute. I thought this was politically very crafty, but it didn't work. She started right out of the gate saying we need to stop being so divisive and not using, you know, divisive language. Of course, she's been running all sorts of negative ads about Trump on television.
Right.
But I think she was wanting to get her shots in on Trump, and we all know what that's about, you want to talk about it. But she wanted this to be a nice, you know, polite debate. And Trump just couldn't afford to do that. So he opened up both barrels on her, and from then on it was a slugfest.
Yeah, but she started it.
Oh, no doubt. With her negative
ads.
I
think that's where she made her mistake, personally, because she started, she said, talking about the tape from Friday night that was, or whenever it was, released, that showed
Early
Donald
Friday.
Trump making those vulgar comments.
Yes.
Getting on when he was with AXA.
Disgusting comments.
Yeah, 11 years ago or whatever, but they were vile. I mean, and just indefensible. And so he comes on and he says, Donald Trump says, I told you at the devotion, our staff meeting this morning, I said there's two expressions that I would say you would never hear in life. And one would be, can Alabama win?
Does Alabama have a chance?
Does Alabama have a chance?
Right.
You will never hear that said.
Talking about the Alabama
football
team. Yeah.
I'm saying nobody ever says, do you think Alabama has a chance? Okay. Nobody ever says that. Okay. Number two, you will never, ever hear Donald Trump say he's embarrassed.
Right.
Well, you're still not going to hear people say, can Alabama win?
Right.
Or do they have a chance? But you did hear Donald Trump last night say, I'm embarrassed. And I embarrassed my family.
Right.
And
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm sorry. He was talking about those comments that were played all over the place.
And if you missed them, folks,
You don't
good.
Need, yeah, because they were terrible. But what happened was with the debate last night, she, being Hillary Clinton, said, I think this is who Donald Trump is.
Yes.
Okay. Well, them's fighting words.
Right.
Right there, because you didn't allow him to, you didn't accept his apology as genuine and sincere.
Right.
Now, whether you do or not, that's each for each of us to judge based on, even though we're not supposed to judge, if you remember, folks, PC, don't judge. Yeah. So it gets kind of confusing here when we're supposed to, how we're supposed to make.
Yeah, don't judge except during a political debate.
Except it's a conservative Christian, then you can judge him.
Right.
But anyway, the point was that she then said, I think this is who he is.
Right.
Okay. Well, as I said, then Trump took off the gloves.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I mean by she started it. If she would have just left it alone and said, well, Donald Trump apologized and for that, and you know, people can make whatever they want to of the apology. Let's talk about the issues now.
Yeah.
What do y'all want to talk about? The economy, ISIS, healthcare, what do you want to talk about? No, she said this is who he is.
Right.
He's basically a terrible person, and that's when he said, oh really? You?
Yeah.
You, of all people, going to lecture me about treatment of women when right. your husband right down there is the chief abuser in chief.
Right.
That's what he was – I'm paraphrasing basically what he's saying. But you knew Donald Trump was going to go for the
jugular. He almost went for it in the first
debate.
Yes,
he did, remember? But he held off.
He held because Chelsea Clinton was sitting
right.
there. And but this – you know, he couldn't let that go. And she went so far as to say – listen, I've worked with Republicans, you know, all my political life, and we've disagreed on issues. But she basically
But this guy's a freak.
This guy, he is a different animal,
right?
And
boy,
was
she right, because he brought to the debate an all-star lineup of four of the people,
the greatest hits of Bill and Hillary
right.
Clinton,
right? Because it was four of the women that he had.
Well, three of them
allegedly.
Three of the women that he allegedly abused, and then
right.
there were the fourth was this 12-year-old girl
right, right.
that Hillary
Trump brought
Clinton,
him to the debate.
Yes,
and gave him a seat.
That's right.
Now that
I think you're exactly right. She would have been better served
yes,
by saying,
she would
"Listen,
have.
Everybody's heard it. I don't want to talk about that kind of thing."
Right.
People, you make up.
You
your
watch
own
the tape.
Mind.
Make your own mind. I want to talk about the issues.
Because
instead,
that is,
she said he is a terrible person.
Right.
Basically, is what she said.
She could have avoided.
Yes.
She could have avoided what came.
Yes.
After she
yes.
did that.
Yes.
And probably sunk
right.
Donald Trump.
Right. Right.
Now, he may still not win. But
she didn't even defend her husband.
No, she
that,
didn't.
Think I was telling my wife last night. Now. And folks, we are just as disappointed as you are that our presidential debates have come to this, okay? Really, honestly, we take no joy in this moment. But this
It's surreal.
But the old overused cliche, it is what it is.
Right.
So we have to talk about it because it does impact the presidential campaign, which impacts our country for decades to come. So
if this was a Hollywood movie,
we wouldn't be talking.
I would tell people, do not see this
right,
movie.
Right,
this
exactly.
movie
that's
is
a
just,
good point.
It's so disgusting.
That's right.
Hey, you
do not see this movie.
Yeah, do not see this movie. I cannot recommend it. But it's not a movie. It's our presidential race.
But I did notice the couple things that struck me was that usually when somebody talks about your husband or your wife or your family member for that matter, and you basically calls them a sex addict and a abuser of women.
A serial abuser.
That's what Trump said last night, right?
I think those kinds of things. Yeah, oh yeah.
Misogynist, I mean, all these things. He was worse than, you know.
And Trump said, listen, mine was just words.
Yes, his was deeds.
Locker room banter, and I apologize. I embarrassed myself, embarrassed my family.
Right.
But his were actions.
Okay, that's my point. Okay, at that point, under normal conditions, a person would be so offended by what you've just said about my husband or my wife, I'm going to go on the attack too.
Right.
I would say something like this. Oh, yeah, you're talking about my husband. How dare you say something like that?
Right.
He is not that person, and I am here to defend his character.
Right.
Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
That would be the normal reaction of a person. She didn't say a word. She did not say a word in defense of her husband. But then the obvious question is, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I said that to my wife last night. I said, did you not find it odd that he could say such things about her husband and her not say anything in his defense?
Remember,
and she said, what's she going to say?
You remember Ted Cruz defended his wife?
Yes.
During the primary season when Trump said, he sent out that tweet with the picture and everything. That's the kind of behavior you expect. A husband or a wife, they defend their spouse.
Right. And when she didn't.
She didn't say anything in defense
of her husband who's sitting in the audience, I would have pointed at, you would normally say, you're talking about that man right there who I've been with for,
you know, X number of years. Now, let me tell you something about this man.
He has been maligned. This is all a bunch of garbage and lies about him. He did not step out on me 27 times, only 14. And this is, and I resent the fact that it's exaggerated.
Right.
Or something like that. She didn't say anything. And then the other thing she didn't say was she had no response to Trump on the activities she engaged in to cover up her team to cover up the email scandal.
Right.
He said you deleted 33,000 emails that
acid washed
that were subpoenaed.
Right.
So this is after the subpoena by the federal government, by the Congress, then you destroyed evidence.
Right.
And that's what he was saying. And she didn't really have any.
And you had your staff members, you know, with hammers breaking.
Yes. Did she say anything that was a response to that? Like, no, we did not do any of that.
She didn't. And she was on her heels. That came very early in the debate after the thing about Bill Clinton.
Right.
Okay, and it seemed like to me for a good part of the second third of that debate, she was on her heels
because
Trump went after her.
She was.
Unlike the first debate, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough stuff for each of them to go after each other, and that's why I thought it wouldn't have been wise probably for – but I think Trump thought, man, I'm going for the fences tonight. I don't have anything to lose. I'm behind by 4 or 5 points. If I don't say
Did you hear Tucker Carlson afterwards on Fox? I usually switch back and forth, CNN and Fox, to get the, you know, what they're saying about the debate. But Tucker Carlson was the first guest, I think Megyn Kelly and Bret Baier maybe, or maybe just Megyn Kelly. What did you think, Tucker? And he said, Trump is an escape artist.
Houdini.
He's Houdini. Because I really thought, you know what? I'll be honest with you.
Are you talking about you now?
I'm talking about me personally. My wife and I.
You had given him RIP?
We were coming. We left after our grandson's first birthday party. Okay. And we were driving home. And I told my wife, I do not want to watch this debate. I said, we just had a great time, you know, my grandchildren, family, and I do not want to watch this debate because that tape that came out on Friday.
You knew it was going to be a...
This is going to be nasty.
Right. You're going to need a shower when this debate's
and
over,
I thought, And basically, I thought the race is over. It's over. And then, like Tucker Carlson said, when I got done watching that, I thought, I can't believe this. I cannot believe... I don't know whether he's going to permanently escape the implications of the consequences of that tape, but as of last night, he did
change
such a great job. He resuscitated his campaign.
Right.
You know, before I thought this guy might have to step down. He might have to step out. I've never seen this happen, but he is an escape artist. Tucker Carlson was right.
Well, Abe Hamilton's in studio with us. Jan Markell had to cancel, so we got the second best.
I don't mind hitting backup.
We just got Abe out of his office and said, come over here and say something to sound smart. So Abe Hamilton.
Sound is the operative word in that.
Abe is Director of Public Policy for American Family Association, or Public Policy Analyst, I should say, for AFA, and heard frequently on American Family Radio. What'd you think about what we've been discussing here last night? Did you watch the debate, by the way?
I watched the whole thing.
Did you? Okay.
I did.
Yeah.
And wow. I think Donald Trump's presentation will certainly draw great response from his base. I'm not so certain how it will play beyond his base support system, but I can tell you that there are lots of Americans who have been waiting with bated breath for someone, anywhere,
right,
any place,
right,
to tell the truth about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, right. I thought the same. I had somebody tell me the same thing.
Fashion, and honestly, I still think he held back some. I think he could have gone in.
Well, there's a third debate.
Well, that's true. I guess this one is that. But wait, there's more.
Yeah, wait, there's more.
And I do think that he recovered from what many thought, not just you, Ed. Many thought
he was on the ropes.
The ropes, they were already.
He was on the ropes.
The tombstone was being engraved. Yeah. Here lies the candidacy of Donald J. Trump.
Right.
And just immediately, and I think two things. One, it highlights the horrible state our nation is in when these two are our candidates. But even.
Yeah. Tell us what you really think.
To think you can go a step lower than that, it goes to show you how horrible of a candidate Hillary Clinton is. Because even with what most political pundits would say is the gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
From 2005, Hillary Clinton still comes out of that debate. Most people would say as having lost the debate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, last night, you mean? Most people said she won the first one and she lost last night.
Yes.
If you're a fair-minded, objective person, I think you've got to say probably she won the first one and last night she lost. Because you do not give Donald Trump a microphone you can't take away.
And
you just don't do it. You're going to lose every single time. Go ahead, Abe.
And I think when the night was full of them, but I think when Donald Trump brought up the comparison of his words versus Bill Clinton's actions that were met with a non-response from Hillary Clinton,
that's
extremely telling.
Right.
And then when Donald Trump goes into his barrage following Hillary Clinton's discussion about, a justice system, and he says, yeah, you better be glad that I wasn't at the top of the justice system at that time because you'd be in jail.
Right. Yeah, that's listed a great one-liner.
I think that resonates with more than just Donald Trump supporters. I think that resonates with the full breadth of Americans that are just tired of this kind of two-step system that we have where you have the law, then you have the law for those who are powerful and rich.
Yeah,
and I think that resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Abe Hamilton. We're talking about the debate last night. That was a second of three debates. When is the third one, Abe? Do you know?
The 19th. Yes, the 19th of October.
And we'll see what the polls show today, tomorrow, the next day, if in fact Donald Trump is able to close the gap on Hillary Clinton. You know, she's been steadily ahead by about, 3 to 4 or 5 points maybe?
Yes.
That's been the general consensus since the Democratic National Convention. He's closed the gap.
It was bigger than that right at first, and then it's kind of contracted to right about that 3 to 5 point range, I'd say the last 2 months.
And the swing states, a lot of volatility there, probably within the margin of error in most of the swing states, I would say, in terms of her lead over him. But he's shown to be tied or leading in Florida and Ohio, which are two critical states that a Republican would have to win to have a chance for victory. But last night they did get into, after the tawdry stuff at the first part, they did get into the, by the way, Bill Clinton, he looks so frail to me.
Yeah, he looks bad.
Is he perpetually hoarse?
I don't know, but
have you noticed that?
Well, he may be giving lots of speeches or whatever, but he the last several months he's lost a lot of weight,
right?
You know, I think diet or whatever. So I don't think it's illness.
Well, it's time to stop dieting.
But he looks gaunt, and
yes,
some of the pictures they showed, he was angry with what he was hearing from Donald Trump. But it comes across as he looks odd. He doesn't look well. So,
no, he doesn't. I mean, and I don't know. He was anyway. You think the same thing? He looks like, I don't know. Maybe he's healthy as a horse, but he just doesn't look like it.
Yeah, some of his speeches, I saw him. He looked like his hands were shaking a little bit.
You talking about Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
He's getting on up there too. Were they? Upper 60s, probably something like that.
Yeah.
Or well, he may be over 70? 70.
Really?
Hillary, I think, is 69.
Okay.
So, listen, I just want to say one other thing, and then I want to ask Abe about a new show that he's going to be hosting here. But I
on TMZ.
Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
Hosted by
In fact, before I get my last little thought about the debate, since I mentioned it, go ahead, Abe. You're going to be on Urban Family. You got a new show starting today, right?
Starting today, this afternoon, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. The whole goal of the show is to try to aid the listening public in developing a biblical grid through which to navigate the issues of our day. So, it's to aid in the formation and the application of a biblical worldview to the issues that we face, and being able to use them and to navigate them in such a way where we ultimately can plant the flag for the name of Jesus Christ in our culture.
And so, how long does it last?
Just 1 hour. It's one hour. Yeah, Monday through Friday, just a one-hour show.
For people who can't get it on the radio, you can go to this website, urbanfamilytalk.com. And that's a ministry of American Family Association. So
yes.
Abe not leaving us to go work for somebody else.
No,
This is a ministry. This is an outreach to the African-American community.
And they can stream your
show.
Yes,
you can live stream it.
UrbanFamilyTalk.com. What time?
3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time.
You're going to have podcasts available, too, of your
show? Podcasts will be available. There'll be some video clips on Facebook. Hey, and
I want to talk about something else for just a minute. We got about two or three minutes left here. Abe, your thoughts on this. There was a discussion, both Mrs. Clinton and Donald Trump, and they talked about the Supreme Court. Wow. You talk about
stark contrast.
Talk about that. What did she say? What did he say that struck you?
Well, I'm going to start with her. Hillary Clinton, I mean, this was an amazing and astounding statement, and I would say even an admission, when she says that she would seek to appoint judicial nominees who understand what's going on in the world. I mean, for me, that caused...
What does that mean?
Exactly. That caused an aggressive jolt in my chest, because for anybody, especially her being a lawyer, trained as a lawyer, she knows that the entire world of the judiciary should be encompassed by our Constitution.
Right. And I think a word she never mentioned.
A word she never, never mentioned, and she stated that she wanted people who understood the world. What does the world have to do with our Constitution?
Yeah. The way the world works.
And then she cited two of what I would say her pet projects, the issue with what we call pro-choice, which I would say pro-death of children in the womb, and what they call marriage equality, which is nothing more but the euphemism used for homosexual marriage, using those as the touchstone of defining what type of judges she wanted to nominate.
That.
I mean, and it's...
And she didn't say the word Constitution one
time.
Not
one time.
And she had about two or three minutes on this. Now, they turned to Trump after that. And Walker, my son, we were watching a debate, and before Trump spoke, he said he needs to say respect for the Constitution right here. And he did.
And he did.
He did. Didn't he?
What did he? He first of all, said he would appoint judges that would respect and uphold our Constitution, that would be in the mold of Justice Scalia. And he referred to the some 20 people who he has named previously as judges who have all basically been vetted by those who understand the Constitution, who have a conservative approach to the Constitution, and say they support the people that he's named as being the types of judges he would
nominate. So that contrast right there, because this has been one of the key selling points for Donald Trump to Christians and to conservatives, is, hey, I'm going to appoint Supreme Court justices who respect the Constitution and whom you will like. And so maybe you don't like me and the way I've talked in the past, but you're going to like my judges, which is in contrast to Hillary Clinton, who's going to appoint far left judges that are going to have impact on our country for decades to come.
So, no doubt about it. And I think
you think he did well last night on that point?
I think that was a point that in the midst of all of the weeds of the personal issues and things going on, that is something that people should take to heart in a strong way, because we are still laboring under the legacy of judges who've been appointed, and the presidents who've appointed them have long passed away.
If secular progressives represented by Hillary Clinton get their way, she will stack the Supreme Court and it'll be changed permanently.
And the rest of the federal judiciary.
That's absolutely right.
Complete makeover.
So there is a great contrast between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
On the next edition of Today's Issues, we'll talk with James Robison about his book, The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings.
There is something right now that is lacking in our nation, and it's understanding. it's wisdom.
We'll also talk with Brian Loritz, author of Saving the Saved, and Todd Friel, author of Stressed Out. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9th through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. A Minnesota public high school is accused of turning a blind eye as a transgender student engaged in twerking, grinding, and all sorts of scurrilous activity in the girls' locker room. That's according to an explosive lawsuit filed in federal court. Alliance Defending Freedom, representing at least 11 families, asking the court to stop a school district's policy that opens up showers and locker rooms to the opposite sex. The school district has not commented on the lawsuit. Under the policy, the transgender student was allowed to use the bathrooms and locker rooms of his choice. The student was also allowed to play on girls' athletic teams. The plaintiffs allege he was allowed to engage in suggestive conversations in the locker room and at one point danced like he was on a stripper pole. I will keep you updated as this case advances through the court system, a very disturbing case, especially for defenders of student privacy. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, you can listen to American Family Radio if you travel, maybe, and you don't have access to one of our radio stations, that you can go on the internet and listen to American Family Radio 24/7 at our website, afr.net. We live stream there our programming. Also, if you have a smartphone or a electronic device like an iPad, for example, you can download an app and in 60 seconds, and then you can listen to AFR anywhere in the world. Clear as a bell, on your phone or on your iPad or something like that, a device like that. You know, do that. I know that a lot of people take advantage of that. Thousands of people listen on the
We have, you know, 194 stations.
Doesn't cost you anything.
But and we're in 38 states, but it's not coast to coast. So there are a lot of people who want to listen but don't have a terrestrial radio station nearby.
Or extraterrestrial.
That's correct. So they want to listen. So they get this app. Download this app.
Right.
Download it quickly.
60 seconds.
And then you can listen anywhere in the world.
Right. So okay, old people, don't let the word app intimidate you anymore.
Right.
You download that on your phone and you listen to AFR anywhere in the world. Okay. Take advantage of that.
And if you can't do it,
I'm not defining
old
people. So if you're offended by me saying old people, then maybe you are, because I'm not defining old people.
Right.
I'm just saying old people need to get the app and quit being intimidated by technology.
Get your grandson or your granddaughter
right,
to show you
to
how
download
to do that.
It. Just say, I want to download the American Family Radio app. Can you help me?
Yeah.
And they'll show you how to do that.
Right.
Right. And then you'll feel young again. So that's the way that works. Hey, we have a couple of great guests in studio with us. They're friends of ours from South Dakota, and we have Ann and Ilhami Kanur with us. They down here annually, down by down here, I mean in Mississippi, from South Dakota, folks. If you look at the map, that would be down here.
That's right.
And we want Ann. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and thank you for having us.
Ilhami.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you all for joining us, Ilhami. That's not exactly Joe or Bill, Ilhami. So you might want to tell people from whence you come to the U.S. of A. Hey, brother, you're from Turkey originally, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And how long have you been a U.S. citizen? So, like,
since 1985.
Since 1985, you've been a U.S. citizen, but. Mm-hmm. And Ann, you and Ilhami met in Germany, right?
Correct. We sure did.
Should I ask how many years ago?
44 years ago, and we've been married 43.
44. Wow. So you met in Germany. It was love at first sight for you, wasn't it, Ilhami?
Yes, it was. First sight.
Did you have to convince her, or was she love at first sight?
I think God was on my side. I didn't really even have to do that.
You weren't even a believer at the time, right?
No.
God was already on your side.
Yeah, I think she fell for my accent.
But so you got an American girl and a Turkish boy, and you meet in Germany, mm-hmm. and then you get married. I'm setting this thing up, and then you make life in Virginia.
No, we didn't then. We were still in Germany.
Oh, really?
Ilhami had his business in Germany.
Okay.
So we lived there for 10
Where
years.
Where in Germany?
In Munich.
In Munich. And so you lived there 10 years? And then
after we got married.
Okay.
Till 1983.
What kind of business were you in, can I ask?
Yeah, trucking business. I own a trucking company. But
so you speak German too?
Yes.
So you speak Turkish, or would that be Arabic?
No, Turkish.
Turkish is different from Arabic. So
yes.
Turkish, you speak Turkish, English, and German?
German? Yes.
Wow.
And most Americans can't, it's hard to speak English correctly.
How do you say truck in German?
LKW.
Is that really?
Yeah. LKW?
LKW.
Okay.
It's short of Lastkraftwagen.
We're not supposed to say lust on Christian radio unless you're a teacher from the Bible, Ilhami. Okay, would you mind that again?
I try.
Okay. All right. So you guys, you're there, and then you move back to the U.S. You move to the USA
in '83
from Germany to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a family going?
We had a family.
Okay. And many children and everything?
We have now 6 children, all married, 22 grandchildren, one great.
So you built your life in Virginia, and everything's going fine, and you're happy, content. You come to know the Lord. You weren't a Christian when you got married, but you came to, you came from a Muslim
background.
A nominal Muslim background, but you came to know Christ through the witness of many Christians and prayers. What age were you when you came to know the Lord?
Well, I became 25 years old. Was it 40? Yes, it was
40. He was 40 years old.
40 years old.
That's
know, that's that's late in life. You came to know the Lord. And so you're Christians and you're going to church and everything. But then... What age were you? Not age. I'm supposed to ask.
Well, you can ask.
Okay,
well,
how long ago was it?
You don't necessarily
Let me rephrase the question. How long ago was it when you went on that mission trip from Virginia to South Dakota to the Indian Reservation that changed your life?
That was in the year
2001. You were sharing in devotion this morning. You had never even been on a mission trip.
No,
right?
I have never been on a mission trip, and then God said, "You're going."
How does God tell you that? Well, is that in the Bible? Or
yeah,
is he
did. He did through his word, through prayer. I knew I had to go. God has a way of moving me when I don't want to be moved.
Because you shared, again, we're not putting words in your mouth. You shared this morning at our staff devotion that you tend to be a little bit on the
stubborn
side. and Ilhami kind of nodded a little bit, but... So you kind of resisted what you felt like. And as you say, the Lord can. What is it? The old expression, or it's an old joke, or whatever, is that God never removes our free will, but He has 1,000 ways of making us willing.
Yes, He does. He does.
So what happened?
I went and
2001. Are your children still at home?
My Well, yes, a lot of them were.
It was
at home.
A 1 week vacation Bible school trip.
Okay, and, so and your church from Virginia says, yeah. "Hey, everybody who wants to sign up, go with us to South Dakota."
Yep.
And they kept asking for a cook. And Ilhami kept saying, "Ann, if God told you to go, you're a good cook, go."
Okay.
And I said, "But I don't want to go. I don't feel like I am mission-minded. I always helped missionaries.
Right. You wrote them checks.
I wrote them checks. That's what I did. And I prayed for them.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
That both is important.
Yes.
So you didn't. So this is a case of you didn't feel called, or was there something deeper in where you just were afraid that God might call you to go?
Well, I just don't feel like I'm qualified. And okay. I think that's why he uses us, because neither one of us felt like we were qualified to do this. So I called Ilhami when I was out at Eagle Butte, and I said, "Ilhami, I want to take all these children home with me." He said, "Ann, please don't bring home any more children."
Right. We got how many of our own?
Six. We had six.
Six of our own. Are you kidding me? Get back on your medication, honey.
Yeah.
So you call you. This is so. This is a. You know, sometimes things happen where Ilhami, where you can only say, it can only be explained by God.
But yes,
that nobody leaves their home in Virginia and goes to South Dakota and then says, "I want to move here." And nothing wrong with South Dakota,
right?
By any means,
but it's completely different than Virginia.
But your home, your business, your family, your ties, your church. Everything's in Virginia for a long time.
And you know, Tim, also our friends.
Your friends.
Yes.
Our friends. You don't realize how important friends are until you move away from them and you don't have friends.
Mm-hmm. So she, Ann goes out there and then calls you.
For 1 week, yep.
And did you think when she called you for the 1 week and she calls you and says, "I want to take all these children home with me on the Indian reservation," which is where the outreach was that you went to the short-term mission.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that this is just an emotional type thing when she gets home?
We'll be all right.
Did you think that?
The only mistake at that time I made, she said, "Okay, I won't bring anyone if you promise me that you're going to come back with me next year because I want you to see this." So I said, "Yeah, that's an easy price. Okay, I'll go with you next year." Well, the next year came and I went.
She didn't forget it.
She didn't forget it. And I just wanted to see myself also.
Right.
So you really wanted to go. You were interested. By the way, what's the website? There's people listening who've got to leave us right now, maybe. Okay. And I want to finish the story, but what's the website for people who want to read about your
WindsweptAcademy.org.
WindsweptAcademy.org. Okay. People can check that out. So you went with her next year.
I went with her, and what happened was, it really does something to you. That's why we tell everyone, please, if you are able to come and see yourself, because it moves people's hearts. When you see these pictures.
It's a Christian school that you're talking about. Windswept Academy. That's where you went.
No, we did not.
We went to a church.
There was no
we went to a church.
We went to church for vacation Bible
Which did
Bible
ministry
school.
On the Indian reservation.
Yes. That's right.
Okay.
And then when God told me to start the school, of course, I knew I was not qualified.
Here we go again.
Yeah, qualified God, to
you
start.
You sound like
a
Moses. I don't speak elderly. You're telling God, "I'm not qualified to start a school," and
Tim,
yet here God is using you.
I was not qualified to even speak. When the first time I had to speak in a church, I was trembling.
Right.
But now it doesn't even bother me because I know this school is God's school and not our school.
So you go, Ilhami, the following summer, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. So what happens to you? I mean, because I think I remember the story last year. Our listeners don't remember, but I'm talking about you told this, gave this testimony in devotions. You resisted the idea, didn't you?
Yes,
about,
I did.
Yeah. So when did you feel like God was telling you to start a school? Was it that next summer? And then
it was the first summer I ever went, but I couldn't convince Ilhami that this is truly what we were to do.
Yeah. And I totally disregarded it. I said, "Okay, she'll forget it." I said, yeah, okay, honey, you know. And then we move on, and then she'll forget it.
Right.
Well, she didn't, and she kept harping. And then next year when I went with her, when I saw it, I automatically started thinking, okay, what can we do here? How can we help? And then you you can't help it but start moving in that direction, not necessarily build a school, but how can we help these poor people? We first few years, we work with the adults, and then we quickly realize that is a waste of time in that sense that we are really not equipped. We didn't have the resources, know-how to deal with adult people that are set in their ways.
Right.
Then she said, you see, we have to start the school to teach the children right from
the beginning. So you had no experience, and you had no experience.
No experience, but you know what? When you look back on my whole life,
right,
God started me doing fundraisers when I was 15 years old. I used to sell bread and cakes and everything to send girls to college.
Wow.
So I know that he's equipped me in fundraising, but that does not mean starting a school.
Right.
So, but we did. We got a Christian lawyer who has always been our lawyer since we've lived in Virginia. And Dan went ahead and he helped us with our 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went from there.
Is this school on the Indian reservation?
Yes, it is.
It's in the middle of the town of Eagle Butte, which is the center of the council.
The government.
Okay, so
the government.
You can't just walk onto an Indian reservation and say we're going to start a school, right? They have to give you permission?
No. They don't have to give you permission. We started in the church after several years.
You're an extension of the church.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why you didn't need permission.
Okay.
Right. And then we bought a home, a 6-bedroom home, that was right behind the church.
And the school was in that home for a while.
Yes. It was in for 2 years. It was in the home. And then we outgrew the home, and we had to start building a school. So the home was on 4 city blocks. So we started building the school, and we had that built, and we started with 12 students, and now we're at 80 students.
80 students. We're talking in Eagle Butte, South Dakota, which is on the Cheyenne
River Sioux Tribe.
The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Reservation there in South Dakota. And
which is the size of Connecticut.
The reservation is?
Yes.
That's half the size of South Dakota. I mean,
No. South Dakota is a very large state.
Okay, so but it's still, you're talking about the size of Connecticut.
Yeah,
that's a huge reservation, a very very large landmass. We're talking to Ilhami and Ann Knuer, and they were sharing their story about how they started this school. It's called Windswept Academy. You can go on the internet and read about it. Windsweptacademy.org. They've got 80 students now. And Anne, what is it though about the? It's no secret. Everybody reads these stories about the hopelessness that you find on many Indian reservations, and then the alcoholism
drug problem,
all these things,
children abuse,
born out of wedlock, so many problems.
I've never been to a wedding of two Indians.
So Seriously. This is all just children out of wedlock?
Yes.
Why? I want to deal with the hope that you guys are providing there and some of the great stories of, but I do have to ask, why do you think there's such despair and problems?
Because there's no God.
Oh, you mean the Indian? They're known for worshiping
the earth, spirituals, if
they even worship anything at all, right?
And so many of them don't even worship.
So you think it's a false religion that they false gods that so many of them are involved with, kind of like voodoo in Jamaica or Haiti
exactly.
or somewhere like
well,
that.
Not even that. What I observe, it doesn't look like there's any belief. I mean, you can. In some sense, respect someone if they had true belief of something, if a piece of stone, if they believed.
Right.
But I don't see that there's no belief.
It's fatalism. There's no reason to get up tomorrow morning and better yourself because life is meaningless.
That's right.
A lot of these people. So you go there, you bring hope with this school because it's a Christian-based school.
Yes.
You invite the children of the community to come in, as many as you can take. Now you have 81, and how many grades?
And we are up through ninth now. We add a grade every year. We started kindergarten first and second, and now we're up to the ninth grade. And
how do you pay for this?
We pay through people that send money.
Because, I mean, because these children don't pay.
No, these children pay no tuition. We are the only.
They have no money, right?
They have no money. It's the poorest county of the United States, Zeebock County.
Wow.
Poorest county, and it is so sad. I can't stand seeing children suffer. And we have anywhere from 3 to 5 children that accept the Lord every year. So there is our hope.
And yesterday.
Oh, yes.
You were beaming at dinner last night because you got a call from one of your students. You're in Mississippi now.
Yes.
You're traveling, speaking to churches that support your ministry and visiting some family down here in the South. Mm-hmm. And but you got a call from
Thomas.
I got a call from Thomas. And Thomas told me that he accepted the Lord yesterday. He has lived with Ilhami and I during the summertime. He lives with one of our teachers and our secretary, who are a married couple.
So he doesn't have parents? Or?
Well, his mother is a drug addict, and his father is dead.
Gotcha.
And Thomas is such a good person, and I can't believe it. I'm so excited that he finally accepted the Lord yesterday. So,
and you guys are also thinking of building for when these kids get out, building a
vocational
school. Oh, this is so exciting because now I want to go on and I want to start the vocational school. And we have the whole block now, and I've already can see where we can place the vocational school. So that's our next big project. Yeah.
Last night we were having dinner, Allison, my wife, and I, with the Canoers, and I was asking them, I was going to ask them, you know, how much longer are y'all going to be in South Dakota doing this? Because, I mean, you're not getting any younger, and you guys are in your 60s, mid-60s, or so.
Let's leave it there.
I thought maybe you'd tell me a couple more years. Couple more years, we'd like to do this, and then we're gonna move back to Virginia and be closer to our family. But Ann said, "I'm gonna do this till I die." Basically, isn't that what you told me?
Yeah. Until he calls me home.
Yes, and probably not gonna call you home to Virginia.
No, he's gonna call me home to
glory,
to be with him.
Seriously, I was impressed by their commitment because they've said, you know, we're here for the whatever the duration is, we're here for it, and we want to. I thought 2 more years that they would probably tell me. No, she said we want to start a vo-tech school. this doesn't sound like they're getting close to retirement from this to me.
But
it sounds like they got a new vision.
But we have a new vision.
Yes.
And we have a man from Alabama that is willing to start helping us to raise funds and material for a vocational school. He's working on the welding department right now.
If you want to read about Ilhami and Ann's ministry there in South Dakota at Eagle Butte, you just go on the internet and go to windsweptacademy.org. Now, for time's sake, Ilhami, I have to ask, you guys welcome church groups to come and do mission work during the summer, or when do you try to work that out?
Mostly during the summer for construction.
Need construction.
Well, we did. Right now, we have no outstanding construction plans.
Okay.
Because everything is...
Till it's time to build a vo-tech school.
Yeah, that's correct. Right. But we always need influx of help to work with our students when the school is in operation.
Doing what?
Because the students, some of our students, needs one-on-one work. The teacher, our classrooms are limited to 12 students, but even that is a big load for our teachers to work equally. When some child is staying behind, extra help, there's not much.
These aren't kids who go home to a good
normal
family
home,
situation.
Yeah.
So you're talking about teachers who have to be in a sense, pastors and mothers, psychologists and, friends, and parents and friends.
Police.
Yeah, because I mean, you guys shared this morning some horrific kinds of things in terms of the abuse these kids suffer. So these, now you have a teacher for every grade now.
This
is the first year for that.
Yep.
And so these teachers, I mean, we're talking about, these are missionaries, these teachers.
Yes, they are.
They make $16,000 a year.
Well.
So they're definitely missionaries.
We're going to, Ilhami, if people want to contact, I know they can go to the website, and there's if they want to email you, how do they do that?
They can email me with akwindswept@AOL, and then with Ilhami, iKanur@AOL.com. Yeah, and all lowercase.
And Kanur is KONUR.
And their website is windsweptacademy.org on the internet.
So if somebody wanted to donate,
right,
you'd take that too. I mean, people can do that online.
Or to come to us, or schedule a time to come to the school and help, like you're talking about, in a tutor type situation.
That's right.
Or helping.
Correct.
Can they do that for a week or?
Yeah, week one. We have now, we will be able to provide a place for them to stay right at the premises. We have, they don't have to stay in a hotel or anything like that. And help, all kinds of help.
Amen.
Kitchen help, teacher helps, with the working with the students on site, cleaning, painting,
So you don't have to, kind of like you, Ann, these people don't have to be qualified.
No, they don't.
You can find something for them to do if they just want to pitch in.
Exactly. That's just like us. We were not qualified.
Right.
And
well,
we are not looking for qualified people.
It makes things so much simpler because it's so easy to get to Eagle Butte, South Dakota, that, there's flights in there every day.
That's right.
Multiple, kind of like Atlanta.
We pick up our guests from the airport.
In Rapid City.
How far away is that, by the way?
About 1,500 miles from here.
Oh, I meant
from the airport?
Rapid City.
To the school?
Oh, Rapid City is about 2.5 to 3 hour drive.
Is that the next big, like, how big is Eagle Butte?
Eagle Butte is like 7,000 people altogether in the reservation.
Okay.
So you want to go to the big city, you go to Rapid City.
You go to Rapid City. That's what I'm saying.
Second largest city in South Dakota.
So it's like the nearest Walmart is in Rapid City?
It's like 2 hours, yes.
Yeah, okay, wow.
Well, no, you can go also to the one in Pier.
Yeah.
That's only an hour and a half.
Okay, all right.
An hour and a half to people in South Dakota.
Yeah, to go to Walmart.
You're 10-minute drive for us.
If you're driving home and your wife says, I forgot toilet paper.
No, there's grocery stores.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, good.
This is funny, people from Mississippi making fun of South Dakota people.
People getting
a kick out of this one. Yeah.
Tim, do you know what? If Ilhami and I did retire, we would stay in South Dakota.
Yeah, you would.
Really?
Yes. God moved us there. He gave us the most beautiful state. We love our state.
I've heard that, Black Hills and all that.
Oh, it is gorgeous.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And our daughter, Elizabeth, our second daughter, will most likely be taking over Windswept Academy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is she out there now?
She's still raising children.
Ah, okay.
We're going to call you in January, and we're going to ask you if it's still the most beautiful place.
And I will tell you yes.
In South Dakota.
She will. She loves snow.
Yeah snow.
Girl from Florida
loves
snow.
You better love it.
That was
South
a country
Dakota.
Song, by the way.
Yeah.
The girl from Florida loves snow. You
oh, really?
That?
No,
he's
just making it up.
It really was.
You're surprised, aren't you? Tim's making that up.
It was a great country hit back in the day. All right. Helen Reddy, I think it was. Before she became famous. Well, thank you very much, Ilhami.
Well, thank you, Tim. Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.
The Kanurs with us. Maybe get you back on another time and talk about your homeland, Turkey.
I would love to.
I'd like to talk about that. K-O-N-E-R. The Kanurs.
You are.
K-O-N-U-R.
No, I just changed it.
You do pretty bad,
I have that authority.
K-O-N-U-R.
Yes, and go to the website windsweptacademy.org. We'll see you in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.